Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this podcast, we're going to discuss how a recent paper in Nature is showing that junk RNA is probably going the same direction as junk DNA. When large-scale function was detected for non-coding DNA, once called junk DNA, evolutionists, knowing that their viewpoint had long boasted that junk DNA was evidence for common ancestry and that they were losing that argument, responded in one of two ways. Some sought to rewrite history by claiming that evolutionary biology predicted all along that we'd find function for junk DNA. Others, however, pushed the junk back to RNA. They effectively argued that sure, we know that most of the genome is being transcribed into RNA, but that doesn't mean that the RNAs have function. Most of the transcriptome might in fact be junk. Well, evolutionist biochemist Larry Moran, for example, argued that either, quote, the so-called transcripts are just noise from accidental transcription, unquote, or, quote, the regions of junk DNA could be transcribed regularly, but the transcripts are rapidly degraded. They do not have a biological function. They are junk RNA, unquote. Well, intelligent design proponents were quick to predict the demise of that argument, and if a recent Nature paper is any indication, then junk RNA may quickly have the same fate as junk DNA. The Nature article titled, quote, chromatin signature reveals over 1,000 highly conserved large non-coding RNAs in mammals, unquote, found that rather than being, quote, transcriptional noise, unquote, over 95% of the non-coding RNAs studied in the paper show, quote, clear evolutionary conservation, unquote. That's another way of saying that their sequences are more similar than would be expected if they were functionless and thereby their encoding DNA was accumulating neutral mutations at a constant rate. After all, if such RNA has no function, you can mutate their encoding DNA with no negative consequences to the organism. But if they do have function, then mutations in their encoding DNA would tend to be highly deleterious. By finding that they have highly similar sequences, we find evidence of stabilizing selection, which is strong evidence of function. The abstract of the article is worth reading in full. Quote, there is growing recognition that most mammalian cells produce many thousands of large intergenic transcripts. However, the functional significance of these transcripts has been particularly controversial. Although there are some well-characterized examples, most, 0.95%, show little evidence of evolutionary conservation and have been suggested to represent transcriptional noise. Here we report a new approach to identifying large non-coding RNAs using chromatin state maps to discover discrete transcriptional units intervening known protein coding loci. Our approach identified 1,600 multi-exonic RNAs across four mouse cell types. In contrast to previous collections, these large intervening non-coding RNAs, or link RNAs, show strong purifying selection in their genomic loci, exonic sequences, and promoter regions, with greater than 95% showing clear evolutionary conservation. We also developed a functional genomics approach that assigns putative functions to each link RNA, demonstrating a diverse range of roles for link RNAs in processes from embryonic stem cell pluripotency to cell proliferation. We obtained independent functional validation for the predictions of over 100 link RNAs using cell-based assays. In particular, we demonstrate that specific link RNAs are transcriptionally regulated by key transcription factors in these processes such as P53, NFKB, SOX2, OCT4, also known as POU5FL, and NANOG. Together, these results define a collection of functional link RNAs that are highly conserved and implicated in diverse biological processes, unquote. The article makes one other extremely important point, stating, quote, strictly speaking, the absence of evolutionary conservation cannot prove the absence of function, unquote. This is important because in his book, The Language of God, theistic evolutionist Francis Collins argues that a greater level of differences among species' non-coding DNA than among their protein-coding DNA serves as evidence that the non-coding DNA is junk. The alternative, of course, is that the large differences within non-coding DNA serve important functions that may actually help determine the differences between the species themselves. In other words, a genetic holy grail, the differences in DNA that determine differences between species, was staring Collins in the face and he dismissed it as genetic junk. This shows how the junk DNA paradigm is deeply embedded within Darwinian thinking and can serve to stifle scientific advance. Collins could have used the advice of this Nature paper, which warns that a lack of conservation does not necessarily imply a lack of function. In closing, the Nature article is a wonderful study on testing function for so-called junk DNA by knocking out the RNA and assessing whether there are any deleterious effects on the organism, in this case, a mouse. The paper ends by suspecting much function for these non-coding RNAs, stating, quote, "We speculate that many link RNAs may be involved in transcriptional control, perhaps by guiding chromatin remodeling proteins to target loci, and that some transcription factors and link RNAs may act together, with the transcription factor activating a transcriptional program and link RNA repressing a previous transcriptional program." Unquote. Under the Darwinian vision that our bodies are the result of unguided and clumsy evolutionary processes, Larry Moran suspected junk RNA by proclaiming, quote, "The take-home lesson here is that you can't assume that some region of genomic DNA is functional just because it is transcribed," unquote. As an ID proponent, I am still waiting for evolutionists to let go of their precious junk arguments for blind evolution and common descent and learn the lesson that you can't assume that if we don't yet see function for a biomolecule, then it's probably junk. In fact, I'm going to stick my neck out right now and make a prediction. I'm going to predict that when junk RNA turns out to have function, Darwinists are going to push it back and claim that really what we're looking at is simply junk proteins, and that the proteome, like what they used to claim the transcriptome in the genome was, is full of junk. And then eventually what will happen is we'll find out that the whole idea of junk proteins was bogus as well. We'll wait and see if my prediction comes true. But for now, this is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.